We are enjoying an exciting study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching us to live upside down. Basically, what does that mean? He's telling us to stop living and thinking the way of the world because it's messed up, it's broken, it don't work. Brings death, hurt, all that kind of garbage. He says, you don't have to settle for that. I created you for more. Live upside down, come into agreement with who you are in my eyes and why I created you, and let's roll. That's the Sermon on the Mount. At least that's how I'm seeing it. So as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount spoke of the importance of living a lifestyle of prayer as we ran into Matthew chapter 6, we've decided to spend an extended time talking about prayer. And so we're going to keep diving deeper and deeper into prayer. We began by talking about God's invitation for us to enjoy an ongoing, never-stopping conversation with Him. That's amazing. The God of the universe, the one who created you, your Abba Father has invited you, come. Spend your whole life with me, day by day, moment by moment. Let's do life together. Take him up on that offer. You won't be disappointed. And then we moved on. And last week we looked at Jesus' prescription for prayer. So how do we do that? How do we have this ongoing conversation with God? And Jesus said, well, here's what everyone calls is the Lord's Prayer, which is basically me instructing you, God instructing you how to pray, how to engage with Him in this lifestyle of prayer. And so I encourage you, as I did on the church news, to go back to the Lord's Prayer and take Jesus' prescriptions and apply them to your life and just see what happens. Come on now. It's good. This week, we're going to stay in talking about prayer. And we're going to look at God's call for believers to pray together. That's the title of today's message. Pray together. Yes, we understand and we've already talked about it the past 2 weeks. Prayer is designed for us to have an intimate relationship, individual, intimate relationship with our Abba Father, our heavenly daddy. You and your Abba Father. Relating to one another. Prayer is designed for that secret place, that place to get alone with Him, to get His heart and let His heart minister to your heart. But prayer is also designed and intended to be done together corporately as the family of God. And as we look back at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 10, we see that Jesus used the plural form in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, and I'm just going to throw a few of those out there, our Father, plural, our Father in heaven. And he said, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we corporately, he's using the plural, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so the early church, they grabbed hold of this pray together reality and they ran with it. And the results were awesome. They were awesome. You know, in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Cimbala, which, by the way, it's a great book. I recommend it. Read it. It'll give you some fresh wind and fresh fire in your life. How about that? Anyway, Jim Cimbala reminds us that, quote, the church in the book of Acts was born out of a prayer meeting. It was planted, started, launched out of a prayer meeting, and there are more than 30 references to prayer in the book of Acts. And so if we as Christians are looking for a role model for prayer, there's no better example than the early followers of Jesus in the book of Acts. And so let's allow their example to teach us, to inspire us, and I'd say let's allow their example to excite us into praying together. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to make this really simple. This is what God said to me this week. He said, go to the book of Acts and get 3 examples of the early church praying together and look at it and talk about it. So that's what we're going to do. We got 3 points, and the 3 points are 3 examples of the early church praying together and what God does in the midst of that. So pray together, example number 1. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Beginning in verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Pray together, example number 1. is what's behind door number one. God's word says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. And verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So the believers, the followers of Christ, those close to Jesus Christ, they came together. Why did they come together, though, and pray? Well, we understand from earlier reading that Jesus had just ascended to be with the Father at the right hand of the Father, where he is today, making intercession for us. Come on, wow. And so Jesus ascended to be with the Father, and he told the believers to wait for the Holy Spirit. So the church waited, but they didn't just kind of casually wait. You see, they were desperate for the presence of God. They had just been walking with Jesus for 3 years, spending time in his presence for 3 years with God, and Jesus, Emmanuel, God with them, went up to be at the right hand of the Father, and the church said, we want God with us. We are desperate for the presence of God. And so the church came together, desperate together, and they began to cry out to God. They began to pray constantly together. The early believers were desperate for the presence of God. So, one of my roles as a pastor, as a shepherd, is to challenge us and encourage us to get with God. And so I ask this question. Are we desperate for God's presence? Are you desperate for God's presence? Well, what happened when the church joined together constantly in prayer? Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Here's the result. Here's what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, of course, because we just read that they came together, joined together constantly in prayer. And so they were still together, praying together in one place. And then what happens in verse 2 of Acts 2? It says, suddenly. I'm getting a little loud. That's on purpose because I'm excited. Because God's word just said, suddenly. Suddenly. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them that were together, joined together in that place, constantly praying, going after God, desperate for Him, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Suddenly, I want to jump forward in the passage here in Acts chapter 2. Because see what happened then. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, they walked out of that place of prayer, woo, on fire with God because they just had encountered Him and He came all over each one of them. And they went out in the streets of their town, of where they were living, out in the streets. I'm looking right over there, out in the streets. I was there on Friday night. Velvet and I went out to dinner, had a little date night. It's packed. They went out in the streets, emboldened, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, a Spirit-filled man now, began to preach. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, telling people about Jesus. Then here's what happened. Let's jump back into Acts 2, verse 37. Whew, I'm excited this morning. Verse 37, here's what happened. When the people in the town, in Jerusalem, when the people in the town heard this, the gospel being preached by the Spirit-filled Peter, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, meaning the Word of God encountered them deep within their inner man. They were driven to make a decision. Because the Word of God is powerful and effective, and it's able to do that, to cut to the heart. And so the Word of God, they were cut to the heart by the Word of God and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We want to respond to what we just heard. This is amazing. What shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized. Somebody ever asked you, what should I do now? I want a life with God. I want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Peter's response. Repent. In other words, think differently. Let's start thinking God's way now. And that's a process of learning how to think God's way. But repent. Start thinking God's way. And when you think one way, you're going to start living one way too. So that the actions come out of that. Repent and be baptized. Baptized. Water. He's talking water baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many words, he warned them. He kept talking to them about the reality of the kingdom of God. With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Now check this out, verse 41. Those who accepted his message, who received Christ, they were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Suddenly, this is the kind of thing that will suddenly happen when God's people pray together. Let me say that again. This is the kind of thing that will suddenly happen when God's people pray together. This didn't just happen because Peter alone prayed. This didn't happen while everyone was scattered about doing life, busy. I got a lot of responsibilities. I don't have time for this stuff. God just got to do it, you know, and he's big enough to do it however he wants to do it. Yet, this is what God's showing us in the scripture. Some say, well, I've been to church prayer meetings and nothing really happened. I've tried that. I've been to a couple meetings. You know, man, they were long. It was an hour and a half. Oh, but I stayed the whole time. Nothing happened. No miracles, no fireworks, no goosebumps. The windows didn't blow open like in Acts or nothing like that. We just prayed and it was a little awkward at times and there were some times of silence. Nobody knew really what to do at that time. It was uncomfortable. But I went. I tried it. Been there, done that. Well, okay. The believers in the early church could have also said that same thing. We went to this prayer meeting. Jesus told us, you know, to wait. And so the apostles said, come with us. We're going to go to this upper room. We went there 2 hours into the meeting. They finally let us out for a 15-minute restroom break. And we were like, wow, is it going to be like this? So how long are we going to do this? Nothing's really happened. We sang a couple songs. We prayed. You know, Peter, yeah, he's passionate, man. That guy prayed. And then it was kind of quiet for a while. I felt a little pressure like I should pray, but I didn't really know what to pray. And, you know, we kind of took off at the break time because we had a lot of other things to do. The early church, that could have easily been their response. Why do we think that we got so much more to do than the early church had to do, than people back then had to do 2,000 years ago? They had mouths to feed, lives to live, a roof to keep over their head, places to go, people that needed help, donkeys that, you know, were falling in ditches, all kinds of stuff happening. The Bible doesn't indicate that miracles, that signs and wonders happened at every single prayer gathering at on the hour when people got together. On the hour, a miracle's going to happen. Something's going to, woo, goosebumps, fireworks, yeah. The Bible doesn't promise that. It never indicates that. It never says that that's how it works. Yet we get into this mindset that thinks that, man, if we don't get goosebumps and feel it or see it or hear it, that somehow God wasn't there, God's not in it, well, that's not the place to be. That's not the thing to do. I'm going to get on with the busyness of my life because I'm busy, and I'm going to find somewhere else to spend my time. Okay, all right. Well, let's keep talking here. Let's look at this. All right. In Acts 1, we just read that the church joined together constantly in prayer, day and night praying together, constantly in prayer. But then suddenly, Acts 2, God showed up and wow, bam, boom, everyone says, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the suddenlies. But check this out. It's calculated that since Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, Jesus was appearing to the apostles for 40 days until he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. So there had to be 10 days left until Pentecost. So what do we have here? We have 10 days of constant prayer by the believers. 10 days of day and night together, desperate for the presence of God, desperate for Him to come. 10 days. Not 10 minutes, not even 10 hours. 10 days. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now up front because I'm getting challenged. I'm like, I've never been involved in a 10-day prayer meeting. 10 days. Oh, I've been involved in things that have lasted 10 days and I show up for this session and then go show up for this. But I'm talking about 10 days. They join together constantly in prayer for 10 days and then suddenly. I'm convinced, as I've been processing this week, that I'm convinced that impatience, that short attention spans, and the busyness of life are robbing people of experiencing the suddenlies that God has for them. We all want suddenlies. And God has them for us. God desires them for us. God desires them for the world, for the lost. God desires suddenlies because He loves people and He wants to draw people to Him. God is full of suddenlies, and He's ready to unleash them and to roll them out. Where are the persistent widows who keep coming, asking, and then suddenly receive? How many of us are willing to set aside 10 days a night to come together in constant prayers as we cry out desperately for the Lord? Oh, I got to work. I understand that. Believe me, we all have a lot to do. Everybody in this room is busy and has responsibilities and pressures all over them. I mean, I'm getting challenged. I'm thinking, would a 10-day day and night prayer meeting be better than a 10-day trip to Disneyland? Man, I'll set that aside. I'll put aside the time to go to Disneyland, to take the family to do that and all that, because, man, you know, we just need that. What would 10 days of day and night prayer with my brothers and sisters as we coordinate our schedules to come together for a long time just seeking the Lord? What would be the result? I mean, better than any roller coaster. I guarantee it. What would happen? I love prayer. I really do. This church was birthed out of a prayer meeting. A Wednesday night prayer meeting. I love corporate prayer. I love praying with y'all. I love it. I've led that same weekly corporate prayer meeting, that Wednesday night prayer meeting that launched this church. I've led that meeting for 6 consecutive years. That's 312 weeks. I've been out of town a few times, you know, okay. But we're talking 6 years, consecutive weeks, week in and week out. Corporate prayer is important to me. I'm not talking to you like I got it all together. I haven't done a 10-day day and night prayer meeting like these early believers, brothers and sisters in Christ did. But I'm telling you, it's important to me. It really is. There have been meetings that I've been at on Wednesdays, week in and week out. There have been meetings where it just appears as though nothing's really happening. You know, there were meetings at times when it was myself, a couple people from my family, and Tim up in the old upper room at the other location, where that would happen for weeks sometimes. But we come together. We come together in prayer. And sometimes we've been in prayer meetings, even with a lot of people in the prayer meetings. It just seems like, man, we're just working, man. We're just plowing. I mean, we're pushing. This is not easy. This is not like, woo, you know. I mean, this is like, oh, Lord, we're here. We're praying. We're going to continue to intercede. I'm going to confess to you right now that almost half the time, I don't even want to go Wednesday nights. And I'm the pastor and the leader of the prayer meeting. And it's 5 o'clock and I'm like, I'm tired. It's already halfway through the week. I got all kinds of other pressures. I just want a night off. But I go. And I would say that I don't even know the number of times it would be less than on one hand that I've walked out of a prayer meeting feeling tired and feeling like I wish I had done something else. 312 times, 300 of those times, I guarantee you, or 310 of those times, I walk out feeling rejuvenated, feeling alive, feeling energized. Why? Because I'm getting involved in something that's on God's heart. That's the reality of it. There's so many other people in this room. I'm preaching to so much of the choir right here that are on board with corporate prayer. They're involved in it. We're going to have a couple of those people come up here a little bit later today and talk about that. But then there's those times, man, where we're in those meetings and God shows up and people start prophesying. Children will start prophesying. People will start singing in the spirit and tongues will break out like in the upper room back at Pentecost. And some of you might get weirded out about that or whatever. I'm just saying, come experience it and read the Bible. All right. So, but things will happen and I truly don't want to offend anybody. I'm serious. I mean, the God stuff happens is what I'm saying. When God's people come together and join together in prayer and follow God's prescription for life as the body of Christ, things happen. God shows up. Suddenly's happened. We've had people immediately miraculously healed as we gather together. We've had chains break off of people, depression break off of people. We've had amazing things happen suddenly. Just another week, it looks like, but suddenly, God shows up. They join together constantly in prayer, then suddenly. So the word to the church is pray together. Pray together. Let's go to prayer example number two. Pray together example number two. We're going to check out this other example, how the early church would pray together and kind of what would happen. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, beginning of verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. So we have a little episode here with Peter and with John. On their release, they were in jail. They were in the Pharisee jail, basically. The religious leader, chief priest jail. Because they defended the religious people, okay? And so on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And what did they say to them? They had told them to stop talking about Jesus. Stop sharing the gospel. We don't want to hear the name of Jesus in this temple or on the streets. Be quiet. It sounds a lot like what we hear today in our culture. People say, you can talk about whatever you want to. You can cuss up a storm, but don't talk about Jesus. You can do whatever you want to in the public schools, but don't bring up the name of Jesus. You can say whatever you want to from the public square, but not Jesus. It's a lot like today. I'm saying, it's not much new. There's really nothing new. They're dealing with the same thing we're dealing with. So let's see how they deal with it. How did the early church deal with that kind of environment? What happened? Verse 24, when the church heard this, what'd they do? They, okay, well, we better talk to some lawyers and see what we're allowed to do and what's okay to do and all this kind of stuff. And just let's be quiet and step back because we don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to do any of that. But no, the early church, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they started declaring the goodness and the greatness of God and declaring that He's the King and nobody else is in charge. God's in charge. And then verse 31, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting, again, notice they were all together meeting. I love our prayer wall, by the way, our Facebook prayer wall, and a lot of wonderful ministry happens, and we become aware of what's going on in the life of the body. It's been an incredible tool. But it's not a substitute for what we're reading about right here. And it says, they prayed together, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That's talking about being physically shaken. Actually shaken. God moved the building like an earthquake happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Talk to a lot of people who are like, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I want that. And so we pray over them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We lay hands on them. We have them invite the Holy Spirit to come. And there's these expectations that, whoa, everything should happen right then and there. And I should just, utterances from heaven immediately. And all of the things of God should just go right out of me immediately. And it should be, and it's like this, it's one time experience or something. And I don't know, I'm reading in God's Word in the book of Acts. that when the people of God came together, it keeps saying, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These are the same people that were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 1, in Acts 2, in Acts 3, in Acts 4. And they continue to have this filling. Why? Because they're pouring it out. And it's coming in and out and in and out and in and out. And they're being filled as they come together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. The world needs a church that prays together because the world needs a bold church that won't back down. The world needs a church that prays together because the world needs a church that is truly the salt and light, that doesn't blend in and it's just kind of incognito and kind of special ops, nobody knows they're there type thing because we all blend in. No, the world needs a church that prays together so that that church will truly be the salt and light and won't hide under a bushel or behind the four walls of a church building. They need a church that will come together in prayer and walk in power and in miracles. Read the book of Acts. I encourage you to do that. If you have any kind of question, what's the pastor talking about? What is all this stuff? Read the book of Acts. I challenge you. Whenever there's miracles, power of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit, and all of the suddenlies that happen, I would tell you that over 90% of the time, it's when the body of Christ is together corporately. You want it? All right. We want the power of God. Sometimes we forget where the power of God comes from. We do. Christians in the early church, they understood that the power comes from God, and this drove them to pray together. Calling on God for all of that power, for Him to move in might, and He did. We talked about Jesus' prescription for our own personal prayer life. This is God's prescription for our prayer life also, for our corporate prayer life. And it gives us a picture of what He wants to do in us and through us. And He gives us the prescription of how that happens. And sometimes we get offended, well, God can do it any way He wants to. He sure can, but He has prescriptions. He has ways that He does things, and He shows us that in His Word. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. It was just spoken of earlier. I'm going to say something that might be offensive. It's just coming to me right now, so maybe we'll have to take this off the audio later. But I will tell you that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And there are people in the church that call themselves Christians that go around sinning, sleeping around, living in sin. And then they're praying to God and they're wondering why God doesn't answer, why they can't hear His voice, and why their world is crumbling. Amen. But you know what? I'm just saying. There are people who want to see God move suddenly, who want their community changed, that want to see the power of God come, yet they don't have time to come together on a regular, significant basis to come together with the people of God to cry out for His presence and His power and His kingdom to come. Yet they're like, why isn't more happening? What's wrong with this? God, amen. I didn't think I was going to get this worked up. Oh, man, I'm almost sweating, man. I'm feeling like, somebody bring me a towel. I got it. Anyway. Wow. Building shook. The church was filled with the Holy Spirit. People were healed. Miraculous releases from prison. The church given supernatural boldness and courage. Thousands coming to Christ. Praying together. Is powerful. It's powerful. Somebody told me this story. I shared it a few years ago. There's this NBC comedy called Scrubs. Never seen it. Don't encourage it. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. This is just a story. Don't go trying to, you know, Netflix it or something like that. Please don't. It comes out of Hollywood, so that's all I'm saying. Don't watch it. So NBC comedy Scrubs. It was filmed at a real hospital. Okay, and so I was reading about this, and the hospital had closed down several years prior to them beginning to film at this actual hospital. And you can put that picture up on the screen of that hospital. This is actually, you know, you Google it, you can find anything. That's actually it. That's probably, if you watch the movie, you probably saw that. I'm not sure. Or the TV show. But what would happen is patients began showing up at the hospital when they were filming because they would see these actors dressed up in scrubs and in all of their doctor kind of gear, and people were like, oh, the hospital's open, and they would start coming and asking to get medical care. which is interesting. It was happening so much that the filming company actually had to put a sign out there and put a fence around it, put a sign on there and said, attention, you know, we're just filming, it's closed to the public. But how would you like to go to that place and be helped by an actor? I mean, let's say this, for instance, that you go there and you have an actor set your broken arm. Do you think that would be really a good experience? One that would be comfortable. Or how about the key grip? And I don't even know what that is, but I know that there's such a thing called a key grip. I don't know what they do. It's an interesting thing. I probably need to study that sometime. But the key grip guy, it's one of the guys working, you know, on the set and with the cameras and all that kind of stuff. It sounds like Jeff might know. But anyway, this guy, this key grip, this Hollywood guy that's just, you know, working on a set or whatever. How would you like to go to him with an appendix problem and have him remove your appendix? Come on, that would be insane. That would be crazy. It would be painful. It would be harmful. It's far more serious when people with broken lives and hurting hearts come to churches that aren't plugged into their real source of power. They're just so busy doing life, and they just get together whenever they can. And people are hurting out there, and they need real help. They need a church that's praying together. They need a church that's filled with God and filled with the power of God because they're hurting and they need healing. We need to be open for business for real and not just be acting like it, but open for business for real. The early church prayed with the faith and confidence that God is the God of power. He's able to shake those buildings, move those mountains, heal those people, change lives, and draw all men unto him. And they came together to pray together. Let's go to example number 3. One more example. Early church prayed together. I want to set it up. Peter was arrested for preaching the gospel because, you know, they told him don't do it anymore, but he couldn't help it. It says that he just couldn't help it. He said, what am I supposed to do? I can't help but preach the gospel. I can't help but tell people about Jesus. So Peter was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was in chains. He was about to be executed. James, one of the other apostles, was already executed. And so the church realized that this was probably going to happen to their beloved Peter. So what did the early church do? They panic. They call up the attorneys. They try to figure it out. Well, I mean, maybe they had some attorneys working on it, but here's what Scripture tells us they did. It said the church was together earnestly praying for Peter. They came together earnestly praying for Peter, crying out to the God who's able to shake buildings and move mountains. And it says this in verse 7 of Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, verse 7. It's another suddenly. Suddenly! Oh my goodness, how did that happen? Oh wow, suddenly happened. Are you seeing the connection between the suddenly? So it says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Hey dude, wake up. I'm about ready to let you see another suddenly. Are you ready? He woke him up. He said, quick, get up. And he said, the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. He said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Because, you know, he didn't want him walking out unclothed anyway. Follow me. And the angel told him. So then Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was just seeing a vision. He thought he was just dreaming. Too good to be true type thing. Are you ready for some too good to be trues to happen in our lives?
Yes.
Suddenly, verse 10. So the angel and Peter, they passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Ooh, God of power. It opened for them by itself and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and he said, he finally woke, whoa, my goodness, I'm awake, wow. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where what was going on? Where many people had gathered and were praying. They were praying for Peter to be released from prison and for his life to be spared. They were taking it seriously. They were going to God. They were taking God's prescription for our issues in life. and running with it. And it says in verse 13, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. She's like, oh my goodness. You know, she lost her mind a little bit. Wow. You know what? Sometimes when God shows up, he'll blow our minds so much that we'll act crazy. You know what I'm saying? It'll just be like, oh my goodness. This is what happened to Rhoda. She's like, wait a minute. We were just praying for Peter. Wait. Ah! Wow! Suddenly! Do you have loved ones that are imprisoned? I mean, I'm talking about maybe imprisoned by unbelief, by sin, the clutches of the devil. They're imprisoned by the hurt of this world. Maybe you feel that you're imprisoned in some way. What are you doing about it? The early church prayed together when one of them was in trouble. That's what they did. We have a group here at Evident Life Church who's been coming together in prayer for years now, praying for the lost, those in spiritual prison. And they can testify that the Lord has shown up with suddenly. So I'd like to ask one or two of them, whoever's going to come up from that group, and just share a testimony of some of these suddenlies.
So it was about 3 years ago we started a group. We opened it up to the church, Peg and I. We call it Praying for the Lost and Lonely. And it was because we have two boys that aren't walking with the Lord, and we made a commitment that we were going to pray on a consistent basis, set time aside to pray for our boys. So we opened that up, and another person, Kevin Burkhart, heard of it, and he had the same desire in his heart, so he joined us, and he's been with us ever since, and this has been about 3 years ago. And throughout that time, we've had various people that had come during different seasons, and we've prayed, and, you know, we've seen things that happen. We've seen addictions, people getting broke off addictions. We've seen prodigals come home. We've seen people get saved. We've seen healings. And like prayer, sometimes we don't see anything. Sometimes we don't feel anything. And there had been times where we would get discouraged and because we wouldn't see anything. And for me and Peg, it was hard because we were praying for our kids and nothing was happening around us. But things were happening with other people. And it was during one of these dry times that we were praying for a group on the board that we were focusing in on, and we just prayed, Lord, show these people your glory. And somebody in our group said, let's pray that for ourselves. So we prayed Exodus 33, where Moses was saying, Lord, show us your glory. And I'm telling you, the power of God blew into that room, and it was intense. And it even went over into the next day, and some of us were still whacked out the next morning. And I'm telling you, it's because that we persevered, I think, and we talked about it. If we hadn't come, if Kevin hadn't come, if other people, we might have got discouraged and totally shut this thing down. But it's still going on, and Danny has joined us a couple of months ago, and we had another encounter just recently, and Danny's going to share that, but if Danny wouldn't have been there to enter in this presence of the Lord, there was only four of us this last Tuesday night that it happened, and we wouldn't have experienced, so Danny's going to tell you about that.
Yeah, like Sean said, I haven't been coming but last 2 months, and I myself, you know, coming straight from work, I'm dirty, stinking, sweaty, and I said, I want to go home first. And I go, no, you're going to go down there. And that's all I heard. Go down there and hang around, pray. And I said, okay. So I kept doing this. There's nothing really happening. I'm praying for the people on the board. One Tuesday night I came down and not expecting anything to happen, just praying. Closed my eyes, listening to the music, praying, speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, I get this vision, and it was right before me. I didn't have my eyes open, and it was a vision of a small gate that needed to be open. And so I stuck my hand out, and still eyes closed, and I kind of just brushed it open. And it came open and stayed open there for a while, and then it was gone. And as we got done, I didn't know what to say because it sure was real. And I told the cabin and everybody else in the group, I go, guys, I just had a vision. And something I've had in years, and I didn't know how to explain it, but what started happening is others in the group started having things come up that were related to that vision. So it is when you're at the least moment God comes to you, when you just don't know, and he shows up and he does this thing. And then I didn't know what to do. And the next week I came back and prayed again, and I go, well, nothing's happening. But towards the end, everybody's leaving. And I asked Shonda, why don't you put on some praise and worship music before we go? And I never say that because I want to get out of there. And so we put on some music, and well, we started dancing. And I haven't danced in a while. Patty can attribute that. I started dancing, and I go, wow. And not realizing, hey, God showed up again. And I went home, and Sean shared with me that video, and I'm dancing, cooking. I'm still dancing at home. And I realized that God showed up again. And it's just different ways that he does things, you know. So.
Amen. Amen. Suddenly, we have a precious family here at Evident Life Church who's walking through some difficult times right now. I know that a lot of us have things we're going through, but this particular family has some significant things where gates need to be opened, where things need to move, where it's time for things to change. And for God to shake things and move things. And we have a family that has asked us and is being vulnerable to come to our Wednesday night prayer. And they've been coming, you know, recently. And they would like for the body of Christ to come alongside of them and to pray together for them, for things to change. And so I just want to throw that out to our church family here. Our Wednesday night prayers, a lot of great things are happening, and sometimes we got 45 people there. But let's come together as a body of Christ alongside our family, just as the early church came alongside of Peter when he was in prison, crying out to God, and an angel showed up and things changed. The chains fell off. Release came. God is the same today as he was yesterday. He's a miracle-working God. God's ways are the same today as they were yesterday. And he calls his church, pray together. Because I got suddenlies. Pray together. Sometimes it's 10 days of nonstop day and night prayer and God shows up. Sometimes it's a word or a vision and God shows up. God is God. He's perfect. He's sovereign. We're his church. We're his people. We're called to do life his way. To pray together. You know, when the early church did that, prison doors opened. The glory of God came down. The Holy Spirit filled every one of them. Thousands of people in a day coming to Christ, coming out of darkness into new life in Christ Jesus. Miracles, mountains being moved. And God being glorified and pleased in it all. The word today is pray together. The word isn't, we want to guilt you into doing something that's not in your heart. But the word is pray together. The word is be desperate for the presence of God. And pray together. Pray together. Let's stand up.